The lessons on the first Sunday after Christmas begin in the book of Numbers, chapter 6. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, 'The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.' So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. This is the word of the Lord." The second lesson is in Galatians chapter 3. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 2. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, I greet you in the strong name of Jesus today. Here we are again. New year. I know, where did 2016 go? It happened so fast. You know, this time of the year is always a time of transition. Transition between the year that was and the year that will be. And naturally, we humans have a tendency to kind of look back at the year that was, and see what could have been. You know, some people find it necessary. Some people find it even comforting to look backwards. They want to see what maybe they could have done differently that would put them in a better position today. You know, if only I'd have done this, if only I'd have done that. If only. But you know what they say, you can't go forward very good looking in the rearview mirror. We need to look forward in this new year, forward with hope, forward with anticipation of what is possible in this new year as individuals, as a congregation, and as a nation. So many changes to anticipate. Maybe you have a new job to look forward to, or maybe you're going to retire. Or maybe there's a new child or grandchild. Or maybe there's a new car or a house or something like that. So many things can change. Or like Epiphany here. Maybe we're all anticipating having to say goodbye to our pastor of the last 10 years, Pastor Mark. And anticipating saying hello to a new pastor. New Year's brings, well, new things. You know, what's the old joke? How many Lutherans does it take to change a light bulb? None, because Lutherans don't like change. Well, it's coming, whether we're ready or not. So I say, let's embrace it. Let's embrace it and let God guide us and comfort us in this new year. Now, looking at our Old Testament lesson today from Numbers chapter 6, it speaks of a time of transition for the Israelites when God was preparing them to be His chosen people. He would put His seal on them. They would carry His name. They would be members of His kingdom, just like we are members of His kingdom. We look forward this morning to the promises of a new year and the expectation of the wonderful things that God has in store for us during this new year, for us and for our families. Now, when I read the Old Testament lesson, it reminded me of another time of transition for the Israelites. It reminded me of when the Israelites were preparing to enter into the promised land after 40 years of wandering through the desert, this land that had been promised to them by God for so long, and how Moses pleaded with the Israelites that they were to, as they entered, there was just a large amount of abundance that would overflow to them in this new land. But it also contained pitfalls or curses that God, through Moses, warned them about. And we read about that in Deuteronomy chapter 11, when God says, "See, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today. The curse if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn from the way I commanded you today by following other gods which you have not known." As we enter into this new year, I have no doubt whatsoever that it's going to be filled with abundance. But I also have no doubt that there will be pitfalls for us along the way. And those pitfalls can lead to curses. And so as we enter into this new year, think about it. What is the one thing that you could receive today as we enter into this new year? What would help you the most? How about receiving the blessing from the Creator of the universe? Wouldn't that be wonderful as we enter into this new year? And so this morning, we ask God to receive His blessing for an abundant year and to help us avoid the curses that may be in front of us. And so that's what I want to explore a little bit this morning, the blessing of God. You know, here at Epiphany, we hear the blessing of God each week, don't we? But have you really thought about what the blessing entails? What does it mean to ask God for His blessing? Well, when spoken, a blessing is a prayer to God for favored treatment over some people, a group of people, or it could even be over a nation, or it could be material things like a house or, you know, an animal. The word blessing can be used to even describe the result of God's favored treatment, as in, God has blessed me with my children, or my wife, or my job, or my talent is a blessing from God. Now, the blessing that's in our Old Testament lesson today is a prayer that we say every Sunday. And it's called the benediction. And we see through reading Scripture how God told Aaron through Moses to speak this blessing over the Israelites, over His chosen people. And so I want to take a look at that prayer, that blessing, this morning and see what it reveals to us. And you can follow along on the back of your worship folder. It's from Numbers chapter 6. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, 'The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace.'" We see in this that God intentionally dictated this blessing to Moses and Aaron, just like when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. And we pray the Lord's Prayer every Sunday too. When God speaks, He doesn't just throw words together and say, "Gee, it'd be nice if you included some of this when you speak to me." No, God chooses his words very carefully. That's why the Bible is so important to read and to reread. God chose these words for them, and he chose these words for us. And it reveals himself little by little as we read it and as we reread it and as we say it and as we think about it. So let's take a look at the blessing this morning. We can see that it has five parts. The first part is, the Lord bless you and keep you. Now, as true Lutherans, Martin Luther might say, what does this mean? It means that God is being asked to favor and protect you. God already had favored the Israelites when this was first spoken. Even though they didn't live up to that favored nation all the time, that status. And later, because they didn't live up to it, they received the curse that God had warned them about, the opposite of the blessing, if they disobeyed him. The curse was the decimation of Israel and their captivity and taken into Babylon. Reading the Old Testament should teach us a lesson. And that lesson is that God means what he says. If we stay true to him, if we obey him, we'll receive his favor and his protection. If we don't, we're going to be outside his favor and protection. Now I say protection. Protection from what? The Israelites were protected physically from the enemies that were all around them. As long as Israel remained obedient to God's command, he allowed them to take over the enemy's land and the enemy's houses and the enemy's animals. Now, when we receive protection, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're not going to have physical things happen to us, physical ailments or whatever, or it doesn't even mean that we're not going to experience physical death. We certainly will. But it does mean that the evil one, Satan, will have no power over us to permanently keep us from God's presence. We'll be kept as God's children. We'll be kept in God's kingdom. And even when we do experience physical death, he'll receive us into his loving arms so that we can be with him in all eternity. Now the second part of this blessing is, the Lord make his face shine upon you. You know, when you have kids or when you have grandchildren, you know what it means to beam with pride when you look at them. I know when my little ones look up at me with those big smiles and those big grins and the bright eyes, I just can't help but start beaming myself to get this sense of pride that just makes me light up. You know, I'm sure you've experienced that when you've looked into the face of a small child just smiling up at you all innocent. And, you just can't help but light up. Well, that is a small part of what we're asking God to do for the person that's being blessed by this. When God shines his face on you, he's pleased with you. And there's no better feeling than having God pleased with you. To have God's face shine on you means that he loves you and he's pleased with you. And there's pride in that we're obeying him and following his plan for our lives. Yeah, we can be pleased in our own self. You know, we can be pleased by something individually that we've done or something that we've accomplished, right? But when there's this beam of pride from a parent, or maybe even a boss, it's much better, isn't it? But when we get beams of pride from the God of the universe, that means everything. Because there's so many times when we disappoint him, there's so many times when we displease him and cause him to grieve. Israel found out what it was like to displease God. But in this new year, We want to strive to have His face light up in pride when He thinks about us. Number three, third part, and be gracious to you. We ask God to pour out His grace and His mercy and His compassion on us. God knows us intimately. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows our strengths and He knows our weaknesses. And those same weaknesses are the ones that Satan is going to be using to attack us, to exploit in us. You know, those desires that are less than honorable, those innermost thoughts that may be contrary to God's commands for us. We need His mercy, don't we? We need Him to be compassionate with us. We need to give Him to give us what He desires for us, not what we deserve. My friends, He has had mercy on us. He has sent His amazing grace. He has sent Jesus to rescue us from ourselves so that we can be with Him and in His family in all eternity. Jesus is our salvation. And we need God's mercy every single day because we can't live up to God, to Jesus' perfect example for us. And so this morning, this part of the blessing we ask God for, we ask Him to continue to show us that mercy as we continue to believe in Jesus as our Lord and our rescuer. The fourth part of this blessing is that the Lord turn His face toward us. Now, as I'm speaking, most of you are looking at me. When I hit something that resonates with someone, I'll get a nod of approval. Well, that's what we're asking God in this blessing, that He would consider us worthy of His attention and His approval. God loves us. He wants so much to be a part of our lives. He wants us to call on Him, to look to Him for help, to worship Him as we're doing today. And when we do, He responds to us. He turns His face towards us. Yes, we can grieve Him. We can grieve His Spirit. We can make Him turn away briefly. Israel did that. They lost His favor and for a time. We can do that too through indifference and disbelief. But when we admit our sin and when we turn away from our sin and turn back toward God, He turns His face towards us and He renews us. And when that happens, we can receive the fifth part of our blessing today and give you peace. God gives the peace that only He can give you. You know, we use that expression a lot during this time of the year, don't we? Let there be peace on earth. You know, that was said by the angels when they came to announce the birth of Jesus to the shepherds. Sometimes that phrase is overused and it becomes trite over time. You know, like I'm thinking of every Miss America pageant contestant says, "Oh, I want to work for world peace." And then the altruistic songs that we hear this time of the year, "Let there be peace on earth." I'm sure that many times the singers and the talkers don't comprehend the type of peace that I'm talking about here. The peace that I'm talking about is the presence of God, not the absence of conflict in this world. Okay? Let me repeat that. Peace is the presence of God, not the absence of conflict in this world. We're always going to have conflict in this fallen world, this fallen earth that we live in until God creates the new heaven and the new earth, a perfect earth. Even Jesus said He didn't come to bring peace, as in the absence of conflict. He said in Matthew 10, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." If anything, Jesus' presence caused more conflict between those that believed in Him and those that rejected Him. No, we will not see this absence of conflict in our lifetime. What we pray for in this blessing is that we receive the perfect peace that Isaiah spoke about when he said, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you." Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is the rock eternal. Peace is the serenity that comes to us from completeness with God. A restoration of our relationship with God. The peace of God is peace with God. That inner tranquility that comes over us based upon the peace of God and knowing that our sins are forgiven. And Jesus readily gives us His peace. He said in John 14, as He was leaving the earth before His second coming, He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." We should not have troubled hearts. We should not be afraid, because He did come. He did remove the curse of sin. He did restore the relationship between us and God Almighty. And so we can enjoy in this new year the renewed relationship and receive all of the blessings that God wants to give us in this new year and forever. Hallelujah. Well, we've looked at the five parts of this blessing. And praying it for someone or some group shows a love and a care for that person or group. Because it shows that you want the absolute best of God's favor for them. And so at this time of the new year, Jesus doesn't want us looking back at what we have done or this world as it was in the past. He wants us to concentrate on our new life in this new year as we live as members of His kingdom. And what better way to start out this new year with a prayer for God to bless us as we go into this year of blessing? I can think of no better way to ask for God's favor upon someone than this benediction. And so it's my joy to pray this for you all this morning. And so I ask you to rise right now. And I've taken this version from the Living Bible translation of our Old Testament reading. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord's face radiate with joy because of you. May He be gracious to you. May He show you His favor. And may He give you His peace. Amen.